Back in 2012, a paper in the journal Animal Behavior presented a study about Western scrub jays titled Western Scrub Jay Funerals, Cacophonous Aggregations in Response to Dead Conspecifics. Researchers placed several objects, including pieces of wood, stuffed jays, stuffed great horned owls, and dead jay carcasses into people's backyards to observe how the neighborhood scrub jays responded. Jays are naturally curious, and they discovered and inspected all the objects, though spent very little time checking out the wood. Dead scrub jays that had been stuffed and mounted in lifelike poses elicited aggression. Something that looks like a perfectly normal jay but doesn't move or react to others would seem pretty odd in a world where such things don't exist. A stuffed and mounted great horned owl elicited, quote, hundreds of long-range communication vocalizations. Squawking to beat the band calls in squads of other scrub jays as the birds alert one another to the danger and work together to drive the predator away. Intriguingly, the researchers found that a dead jay that looked quite dead also got a similar response in the high number of calls and in drawing other scrub jays from afar. I noticed something similar with blue jays back in the days when I was an occasional counter at Hawk Ridge. If a hawk nailed a blue jay out of a flock of migrants, the whole group remained in the area, often for 45 minutes or longer, yelling their heads off in what I called an Irish wake. Both the mounted owl and the dead scrub jay caused the other scrub jays to decrease their foraging for food in the area for over 24 hours. The authors concluded in their abstract, quote, "Our results show that without witnessing the struggle and manner of death, the sight of a dead conspecific is used as public information and that this information is actively shared with conspecifics and used to reduce exposure to risk," end quote. For some reason, a story about that research paper went around on Facebook last week as if it were new information, and several birders quickly started criticizing the author's use of the word funeral. That and my own use of Irish wake naturally smack of anthropomorphism. We humans can't help but compare animal behaviors to our own. It is completely unscientific to draw a conclusion that animals grieve the loss of individuals or recognize death in the same way that we humans do. But it's equally unscientific to state that they don't. In the study, those Western scrub jays were hardly grieving the loss of one of their own. The authors didn't kill a local jay for their dead specimen, so of course the jay wasn't recognized as a particular individual, and the jay's reactions couldn't have been called grief. But the ways we humans announce and gather after the deaths of our own conspecifics suggests that our funerals may serve the same purpose as the gatherings of those scrub jays. We can't yell as loud as they, but we ring the alarm far and wide in the obituary pages of our newspapers and on the news. Our own funerals involve family and close friends grieving for the loss of someone they love, but also include the wider community, many who are not grieving at all. If you listen in on conversations at any wake or funeral, you'll hear people, including genuinely grieving loved ones, talking about the cause of death in ways that suggest we're all using that information in hopes of forestalling our own deaths, just as the scrub jays of the study do. Some people poo-poo the idea that animals are capable of understanding death or envisioning their own, but we have plenty of evidence that a lot of humans, and not just reckless teenagers, can't envision our own mortality or wrap our own heads around the concept of death either. Every species reacts to different things in different ways, including us. But we share a lot of common ground. Dismissing the term funeral for the scrub jays in this study seems to deny that truth. If we ever came upon intelligent life forms in outer space, there is no way we could hope to communicate with them until we figure out how to better understand and communicate with the intelligent life forms right here on Earth. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.